one of the greatest books of the Bible. It's a very interesting book. And I'm reading from the sixth chapter, chapter number six of the book of Hebrews. I'd like to read the first three verses. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. You may be seated. The Lord bless you tonight. Now, after reading these three verses, I want to choose tonight for a subject. Go on to perfection. Go on to perfection. Now, there are two words that I'm going to deal with in this message. And these two words should hold our attention. Two words out of three verses should hold our attention in this lesson tonight. And these two words, very important, doctrine and perfection. And you can mention either one of these words to many people, and they become very upset. They become frightened. When you say doctrine, that really scares a lot of people. They don't know what you're going to say because they don't know what your doctrine is. And they become very upset. And when you mention perfection, that's another word that frightens people. When you say perfection, perfection. Did you know the reason that a lot of people do not understand a lot of things about the Bible and about a lot of other things? Is because they have never stopped long enough to realize the meaning of words. Words mean something. They convey a message to our hearts. And when Paul wrote the letter to the Hebrew Christians, he wrote a great letter. Now, when I say Hebrew Christians, these were Jews that had come out from under the law. They had embraced grace and truth in Jesus Christ, and they believed in Jesus Christ, and they ceased to offer up sacrifices and offerings as they did under the Old Testament. These were Hebrew Christians. They were New Testament believers. They had come to the knowledge of the truth. They had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, speaking with other tongues. And in the Bible, you take it from the scripture tonight, there is a doctrine. I said there is a doctrine. Now really, what does the word doctrine mean? This is the meaning. The word doctrine means that which is set forth or taught for acceptance or belief. That which is held to be true. That which is set forth or taught to be believed or accepted. And it is true. That which is held to be true. That's the doctrine of the Bible. That which is set forth. That which has been taught. And that which is being preached tonight. That which is being taught tonight. The doctrine is still in effect. I said, the doctrine is still in effect. It's still very much alive. Now the word perfection. This really frightens a lot of people. They say nobody can be perfect. The doctrine of perfection. Really, what does the word perfection mean? Let me give you four meanings to the word perfection that is used in the text that I'm using tonight. Let us go on to perfection. Number one, let us pass on to what is mature. Number two, go forward to adult understanding. Number three, and pass on to our full growth. Number four, let us advance to mature manhood. That's what Paul was saying. Now he said, you have come into the church. You've been born into the kingdom of God through the process of the new birth, which is made up of water and spirit. But he says, do not remain so close to the door where you came in, but go on into deeper things and go on into higher things and grow in maturity. One time I heard about a little boy that rolled out of the bed about 2 o'clock in the morning, and if there's anything in the world that can disturb a family, it's about a 50-pound boy rolling out of the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. It seemed like a bomb has hit the house. And the mother rushed in and said, son, why did you fall out of the bed? Well, he said, I guess I was too close to where I got in. See, when you get in the bed, kind of move over a little bit and you won't roll out of the bed. I believe I have a message for this church tonight. If you'll open up your hearts, if you'll just open up your hearts to me tonight for a few minutes, listen to what I'm talking about. When you come in the church, you come in the church as a believer in Jesus Christ. I said you come in as a believer. You do not come in as an unbeliever. You come in the church as a believer, accepting Him, Him accepting you. You believing on Him as the Scripture has said. You accept the doctrine that is taught in the pages of the New Testament. You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in His name. You believe in His power. You have faith in Him. He has so graciously baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. But that's not all there is to it. I said that's not all there is to it. We must go from here, grow into manhood, grow into adulthood, grow into understanding, grow in the kingdom of God. Let us advance to mature manhood. Now notice carefully. First, I'm going to establish the importance of doctrine. Now some will say it makes no difference what you believe. I dispute that tonight. It makes all the difference in the world what I believe. If you have in your cabinet, in your bathroom, a little bottle about that tall, if it has a label on the outside of that bottle that says poison, you can stand there till doomsday and say, I don't believe that bottle is full of poison. And when you get through with your unbelief, it'll still be poison. And when God said something in this book, and I'm glad for one thing tonight, that unbelief in a fact, in a truth, and in a fact, does not turn that fact into fiction. Whatever God said, that's what we must believe, and that's what we must accept. Because somebody said they don't believe it, that does not alter the plan of salvation, none whatsoever. Whatever God has said, it is settled in heaven forever. It is for me. It is for you. I must accept it. I must believe it. And then when I believe it, I must go on to perfection. Don't stay so close to the door that you will walk out. And don't stay so close to the side of the bed where you got in until you will roll out. But go on to perfection. Go on to adult understanding. Now, the early church was born as an infant in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. We all believe that. Nearly every preacher in this town tonight will tell you that the birthday of the church was on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. And I am at a loss to understand, if they believe that, why they will not preach what took place on that day. We are the original. We go back to the day of Pentecost. We preach exactly what happened on that day. The experience. But that church was born as an infant. Now I'm trying to establish the importance of doctrine. Acts 2:42, the scripture said about the early church. Now this is Acts 2:42. This is the early church. And they steadfastly continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, what doctrine does he recognize in the New Testament? I'm contending that he recognizes the apostles' doctrine. What they taught, what they preached. He said in Mark 16:15, he told the apostles to go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth. Believeth what? What they were going to preach. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now let me turn to Romans 6:17, establishing the importance of doctrine in the New Testament church. Now Romans 6:17. I'd like to read that scripture, and this ought to bring a lot of joy to our hearts. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Now, when did they become free from sin? When they obeyed from their heart that form of doctrine that was delivered them. The Bible said in the last days that they would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We have a form of godliness, but there's power in it. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's power in it. It's more than a form. It's full of power. Being then made free from sin, when they obeyed from their heart that form of doctrine which was delivered them. Now Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible said that. He's the author, the finisher of our faith. Now the devil is the author of false doctrines. Every doctrine that is preached is not true. It's not real. It's not a fact. But Jesus is the author, the beginner. He's the finisher. The author and finisher of our faith. But the devil is the author of false doctrines. Somebody said, do you believe in a devil? Don't you? There is a devil. And there are demons, evil spirits. We must believe that to believe the Bible. And the devil believes there's one God and he trembles when he believes it. And the devil has got a lot of folks skinned a city block when it comes down to believing about God. They believe there are three and he believes there's one. He's been up there and he knows how many there is. Amen. I said he knows how many there is. Now I want you to notice the devil is the author of false doctrines. Now I'm going to give you another scripture. In the book of 2 Timothy, rather 1 Timothy chapter 4, and the first three verses. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. Devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Verse number 3 solves the problem of marriage and settles the meat question. If you want to eat meat, help yourself. Just sanctify it by prayer. That's all. Hallelujah. Forbidding to marry. It's no harm to marry if you marry right. There was a lady that she was having a hard time trying to find a husband. She just couldn't find one. And she had a lady friend that had had three. And they'd all died. Every one of them had died, and she had all three of them cremated. And this old girl that couldn't find one, now she said, that's something I don't understand. She said, I can't even get one, and my friend has husbands to burn. But in the last days, he said, that there would come a doctrine forbidden to marry and forbidden to eat meat. Now, the Scripture expressly tells us tonight, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time, these things shall come, doctrines of devils. Who's the author of doctrines of devil? The devil himself is the author, because God is not the author of confusion. Now let me give you Hebrews 13, verse 9. Be not carried about by divers and strange doctrines. That means different doctrines. And they would be strange according to the teaching of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now you hear me tonight. They're doctrines of devils. They are preaching the commandments of men and they have forgotten the doctrine of God. The Bible said one time Jesus was preaching and teaching and the multitudes were astonished at his doctrine. He preached doctrine. Somebody said, don't preach doctrine. You scare everybody away. You can't be saved unless you obey from your heart that form of doctrine that was preached in the pages of the New Testament. I know that's plain, but plain talk is mighty easy understood. Now here's what I meet, and I'm afraid of it. When you hear a church or a preacher, when they say, in this church, we have no creed but Christ and no law but love. You know what they preach? They don't preach enough doctrine to flag a handcar. Not enough to want a shotgun barrel. You hear me tonight? No law but love and no creed but Christ. There is a doctrine and it must be preached. And it must be believed. Now that statement runs parallel with this statement. Now, somebody said, I don't believe in paying tithing. I give all. You can just write it down. They don't give anything. I think I heard that go kaplunk. But it's the truth. Oh, I don't pay tithes. I give all. You check the books. They don't give anything. No law but love and no creed but Christ. Oh, come on in. Makes no difference what you believe, just so you believe something. That's not true. John 7:37, Jesus said, if you believe on me as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Ghost, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But since he said that, he's been crucified, buried, resurrected, and glorified, and the Holy Ghost will come down upon the heart that is hunger for God. Now listen, Paul is not saying to forget doctrine. He's not saying to blot it from your memory. He's not saying to discontinue the doctrine, but this is what he's saying. He said, leave the first principles of the doctrine and go on to perfection. Now, what are the first principles of the doctrine? Repentance. Number two, faith toward God. Number three, doctrine of baptism. Number four, laying on of hands. Number five, resurrection of the dead. Number six, eternal judgment. I read all of that from the Bible. That's the principles of the doctrine of Christ. But I'm trying to impress tonight, there's more to it than that. When you come in, don't stop walking with God. Just keep walking. Keep praying. Keep fasting. People established in doctrine are not easy moved. They'll stay with it if everybody can understand it. Now, doctrine is our foundation. Knowing what you believe and why you believe it. Knowing what you believe. The Bible said, be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If somebody would ask you tomorrow, why are you baptized in Jesus' name, could you tell them? If they say, why have you received the Holy Ghost? Could you tell them? You ought to be able to tell them. Being baptized in Jesus' name is the official remission of your sins when you are baptized in that lovely name of Jesus Christ. Receiving the Holy Ghost is the birth of the Spirit. Hallelujah. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you've been born of the Spirit. All of this is necessary. But there's more to it than that. The Bible offers us three things tonight. Number one, it offers salvation to all. Salvation to everybody. Not a select few, but to everybody. Number two, after you get in the church, the Bible, the Word of God, is milk for babes. That's what the Bible teaches. It's milk. And number three, for the more mature saints, the Word of God is meat. You see, it's a complete diet. It's for everybody. It's milk. It's meat. It's bread. It's strength. It's encouragement. He didn't say, get away from the principles and never think of them again. I'm going to explain myself as I go along here tonight. Because I was driving just a few days ago and the Lord dropped this scripture in my heart and I began to work on it. And the more I studied that scripture, the bigger it got. And it just kept on and on and on until here is the message that the Lord gave me tonight for this church. You see, the Bible has something for everybody. Someone said, I read the Bible and I can't get a thing in the world out of it. I wonder why. You can read a novel and cry. Read a Western and get stirred up about somebody going to get killed. Never worry, the hero will never get killed. Close a chapter at midnight. I got to read the next chapter. I can't quit till I read the next chapter. 2 o'clock in the morning, still reading the novel. Uh-oh. But when it comes down to what I'm talking about tonight, can read this and not get a thing in the world out of it. Listen, we have a hero to read about tonight. We have a faith to read about tonight. We have a salvation to read about tonight. Hallelujah. We have a doctrine to read about tonight. We have the meat, the bread, the water. Hallelujah. Everything is complete in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not saying to blot from your memory the principles of the doctrine. He's not saying that at all. He's not saying to leave them and never think of them again. But here is what he's saying. We are to leave the principles of the doctrine as the plant leaves its roots when it grows into a tree, leaving it only that it may be more dependent upon it, and day by day drawing from it those fresh supplies of vital sap, which it pours into the fresh leaves and the fresh boughs, by which it supplies food for the hungry and shade for the weary. The roots. You see, if there was not a root, there would not be a plant, there would not be a tree, there would not be a vine. The doctrine is the root. Then you begin to grow as a plant. And it grows. It doesn't leave the root, but it just leaves the root in the ground while it grows on to be a tall tree or a beautiful vine or to supply food for somebody. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Don't forget the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Go on to perfection. Grow into manhood. Grow into maturity. Have faith like the Bible teaches that we ought to have faith. Get down to where the Bible teaches that we can find a real, firm, true foundation. And when the devil comes with these false doctrines all in the world, that you've got to do is to put your finger on chapter and verse and say, God, here it is. I know it's true. I know it's real. And the devil will never be able to talk me out of it. Oh, yes. The vine, the tree, is depending upon the roots. The roots and the ground are at work, supplying vital sap to that vine or that tree, that it will go up into the tree, into the limbs. It will produce fruit, leaves, for a shade for somebody that's weary. Now notice, we are to leave the principles of the doctrine as a builder leaves his foundation, that he may carry up the building, stone on stone, story on story, tower above tower, from the basement to the top, always leaving the foundation, yet always on it. Now, wouldn't it have been something if we would have hired a contractor to come here to build this church? We signed up for a contractor to build this church. It would have been stupidity if he would have leveled off the ground, poured the foundation. I said, preacher, call in everybody and start having church. Start worshiping right now. Here it is. It's complete. Well, it wasn't complete. It was ready to be complete. The foundation was there for the structure. This ground where we are right here was tested. It was proven. They knew exactly the kind of foundation to pour to hold up this building. But there's more to the building than the foundation. But if you don't have a foundation, you won't have no building very long. But a foundation without a building is of no value whatsoever. So here we are, like the builder, when they got the foundation poured. Every builder will tell you, when they get out of the ground, then they can begin to show something. See, it takes a long time to dig, and here you've got to lay the pipe, and you've got to rough this in, and you've got to rough that in. It takes a long time to get out of the ground, but when once they get out of the ground, here they go, stone on stone, brick on brick, story on story, tower on tower. Yet they don't leave the foundation from their mind. They don't blot it from their memory. They know that without the foundation, there can be no beautiful building and no roof over your head. They know that. And here we are. That's the way it is in Christianity. You leave the principles of the doctrine like the builder leaves the foundation, but he builds on the foundation. Hallelujah. He builds on the foundation. And let me tell you, when you have a foundation in you that is God ordained, the devil can come with his fiery darts and with the wind and his breath and blow and breathe against it and persecute it. But listen, the church of God will stand forever because it does have a foundation. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. We've quoted this so many times. Quoted time and time and time again. Upon this rock I will build my church. The question has arisen, who is that rock? And I'm going to tell you tonight, as frankly as I've ever told any audience in my life, Jesus Christ never built that church on Simon Peter. I said he never built that church on Simon Peter. You read about three verses above, the 18th verse, the same chapter, listen to what you'll find. When they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, they said, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you are one of the prophets. But Jesus said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next verse, Jesus said, upon this rock. What rock? Upon the true identity of myself. Upon the fact that I am the Christ, I'm going to build my church. And you ought to shout when I say this. And the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The grave will never prevail against it. The lake of fire will never prevail against it. The devil will never be able to prevail against it. Glory! I like people when they can shout over preaching. And I ain't doing a bad job tonight either. Praise God! Praise God! When I picked up this Bible today to read these verses all afresh again, and the Lord began to deal with me about what I was going to preach on tonight. And this scripture has been so misused and so abused. This scripture that I read tonight for a text, leaving the principles of the doctrine. They say we do not want a doctrine in our church because Paul said to leave it. I'm trying to tell you what he meant when he said, leaving the principles of the doctrine. You leave the principles of the doctrine like the builder leaves the foundation to build the building on the foundation. He leaves it, but yet he's always on it. Hallelujah. Never get outside in the mud somewhere. Get your feet up on the solid rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. And we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The Bible said the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Hallelujah. They would not accept Him. They would not believe in Him. But yet He has become the head of the corner. He has become the rock of ages. He's become the joy of our salvation. He has become the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It takes doctrine to get you in, and then you go on to maturity. Let me drop you this thought tonight. Some have been in the church a long time, and they're almost as close to the side of the bed as they were when they got in. Some are almost as close to the door as when they came in. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. It's to move on from the door, leave on from the side of the bed, and get on a little further over. Just keep walking. Don't forget how God saved you. Don't forget about baptism. Don't forget about the laying on of hands. Don't forget the healing power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. Always keep that in memory. But keep walking, going on to the state of perfection where you can grow up in God. Listen, can I say what I want to say? There's a lot of people, men and women, that's been married 10, 15, 25, 35 years. And the reason they have problems, that neither one of them has matured. They have not grown up. They act like children, throwing spitballs in high school. Just like children. Spitballs. Going to school growing up, we had more fun. If you wanted to pick a fight and see two boys fight, you draw a line. And you stick out your finger, and this boy over here, and this boy over here, now the best man spits on my finger. And when that one spits, you drop your finger, and he spits that other one right in the face. And you talk about hair pulling. You talk about fighting. They fight like two cats and dogs. You know why? Because they're not mature. They haven't grown up. And I'm going to say something else. Been in the church 14, 15, 25, or 30 years, and still act like a little child. If things don't go just right, well, I'll pick up my marbles and I'll go home. That might be the best thing ever happened. Amen. See, people ought to grow up. Don't be children. But give these new converts time to grow up. Don't criticize them because they stumble and fall every once in a while. Sometimes, you know, I think about the way it works. When a little child is born in the family, it kicks and cries and has a bottle and wakes you up at midnight and 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and here they go, crying and bawling. But after a while, about the first thing it does that you notice, when it begins to mature, it can sit alone. Then about the next step is it pulls itself up. Get by the bed and pull up. Oh, look at my little child. It can pull itself up. Well, just look at little Johnny. Well, look at Sally. She can really pull herself up. Then the next thing is taking a step. Did you ever see that child take its first step and fall just in front of his face? And then you talk about yelling. The blood running out. Oh, little Johnny, you're going to die. No, Johnny's not going to die. A busted nose will never kill Johnny. Never will. Never will. That's the way the Christian is tonight. And some that's been in the church 50 years thinks that everybody that has just prayed through ought to know as much as they know and to be as mature as they are. Well, that's not the way it is. That's what I have a study over here for. That's what I have an office up here for. I can catch you going or coming. And you don't know it, the people that I've sat down in there and counseled with and told them what to expect and told them how to overcome these things. It's very simple when you can understand it. Get on the foundation. Never forget how God saved you. You know, the psalmist David one time spoke words like this. Remember the pit from whence you were digged. But don't stay in the pit. Don't keep digging in the pit. Get away from it, but remember where God has brought you from. If He brought you from a life of drunkenness, if He brought you from a life of sin and evil, remember where He's brought you from, but get away from it. Hallelujah. And keep going on for Jesus Christ. Let us go on to maturity. Go on to perfection. Go on to adult understanding. And pass on to our full growth. Grow. 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 Never. Never forget the foundation. You're leaving it to build. You're leaving it to grow. But yet you're still on it. I said you're still on it. And I like that. I like that. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes a preacher, he gets criticized. You know, that's the strangest thing in the world. A man can stand up and read something from the Bible. Then folks will go home mad at the preacher. Well, don't get mad at me. I told a man one night, he said, I just don't believe that baptism that you're talking about. Well, I said, I tell you what you do. You take your Bible and go home tonight. I said, don't get mad at me, but you take your Bible and go home tonight and sit down and turn to Acts, the 19th chapter, and read the first 6 verses. And you sit there and argue with Paul the rest of the night. Don't argue with me. Argue with Paul. He's the one that said it. I didn't. And I said, when you get tired and sleepy, it'll still be there. It'll still be there. Preach the tent meeting. It's been, I guess now, 43 or 44 years ago. Some things I never will forget that has happened in my life. And then I never will forget this tent meeting. In my mind tonight, we pitched that tent in a cow pasture. I can see the flaps of that tent blowing right now just as plain as I saw it 43 or 44 years ago. We had a revival from the word go. But in that revival, I have never in my life slept as many mosquitoes, eat as much coconut pie in one place in all my life since I've been preaching. I never saw nothing like it. We'd spray the tent early in the afternoon. Then, how many of you know what these mosquito guns used to be? You know, they'd hold some a quart and some maybe a gallon. And you know, you'd spray around the house, you know. You just spray the mosquitoes. They just are coming in and you just are spraying. Well, we had about 3 or 4 men that had these mosquito guns. And about the middle of the service, they'd go down the aisles and they'd pray and they'd spray this mosquito dope up under the pews, you know, to keep the mosquitoes off the legs of the people. Man, when they get to biting your ankles, listen, you're going to move. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're going to move. It's not so bad when they get on you, but Lord, when they sit down, that's where it hurts. And I was preaching somewhere not long ago, and someone said, you on the coast? I said, right down on the coast. I said, you got any mosquitoes? I said, yes, sir, but there's one thing I can say about them. I said, every one of them acts like Christians. They come towards you singing nothing but the blood. Yes, sir, they start right towards you singing nothing but the blood. That's what they're after. And as a lady, she was one of these highfalutin kind of ladies. She heard about what a revival was going on in that tent. And she drove out one night. And she said, I just don't believe all that's happening out there. She kind of slipped off from her husband. Big, fine car, you know, and she come easing in there. And she cut her lights off. And about the time that she got all set to watch the show, she saw them men pick up their mosquito gun. And they started down the aisle spraying. She said, I know now what it is. She said, they got it in them cans and they're spraying it on everybody. Said, that's it, that's it. No, brother, when I got my soul, never come out of a spray gun. Hallelujah. But it came out of the throne of glory. Hallelujah. And it's just as real as it ever was. Hallelujah. You ought to shout tonight. Praise God. Shadow wins tonight. We're on the foundation. But we're not leaving the foundation. We are growing, but we're keeping in mind what God has done for us. The first night of that meeting, I never will forget it. There was a man came into that meeting that night. A nice looking man, he and his wife. And after the service, you know, I never will forget what I preached on that night. It's just as real after 43 years as it was the night I preached. Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he liked that. He come down the aisle, he said, I've never been to a Pentecostal meeting in my life. He said, man, this singing and that preaching tonight, you know, you can pick up a tomcat and put him in your lap. As long as you rub the fur the right way, he'll purr all day long. But you rub it the wrong way and that tomcat will spit in your eyeball. Now, listen, I can't change my rubbing. You'll just have to turn around because I can't change my rubbing. I can't change my preaching. I said, I can't change my preaching. I don't think this lady over here would mind if I'd say something about her. I've talked about it before in public. When they came to Orange, they contacted me and I began to visit with them. And believe it or not, she was a smoker. I'd visit with them every Saturday. She'd sit there, cross-legged, and she'd take a big puff, and listen, she could blow smoke and just curl up and just go right up towards the top of the ceiling. And I sat there one day, she said, what I want to hear somebody preach on is communism. And I didn't tell her because she looked pretty tough in them days, so I didn't tell her. I didn't say a thing, only I thought something. In my mind, I thought, lady, what you need is not a sermon on communism, but you need a sermon on repentance. But I didn't tell her that day because she might have blown smoke in my face. But you know, I kept visiting with them and talking, and they came in the church. A long time ago. Still in. Going on. That's what preaching and praying and singing and worshiping and coming to church will do for the individual. And that man, he said, I'm a deacon. Certain church. I wouldn't call no name. But he said, I own a dairy in this city. If you tell me where you're staying, he said, I want to leave you a gallon of sweet milk on the front porch.
I told him. Next morning when I woke up, I looked outside on the porch and I set that gallon of sweet milk. About a week after we got started and got the thing going in high gear, one night I walked up to that pulpit and I have never preached You see, when I preach, I take a double-barrel shotgun. It's not a single barrel, it's a double barrel. And I cram both barrels full of everything I can get my hands on. Railroad spikes, anvil, shop hammers, everything I can get my hands on. And I turn loose both barrels. And when I got through preaching, strange thing, that deacon never came down the aisle that night. He sat back there with his arms folded. He was blowed up like a Louisiana toad frog full of buckshot. Looked like he's going to bust in a minute. And I knew something was wrong. And I slipped out of the back of the tent. I just as wet with sweat as I could be. My hair was all down in my face. And before he knew it, I walked up right behind him. I said, "Hello, Deacon. How you feeling tonight?" He said, "I'm sick." I said, "Really?" His wife just busted out to laughing. "Why," she said, "Brother Gamble," said, "he's not sick," said, "he's mad." "I wouldn't take $100 bill for that," said, "he's mad." I said, "Mad?" I said, "What in the world are you mad about?" In my mind, I said, "Goodbye, sweet milk. I won't see it in the morning on the porch." You know, this is the thing that I'm trying to get over to you tonight. I could have patted that man on the back and have sent him to hell. But I stirred him up. I plowed his new ground. I turned up things that he didn't even think about. And it made him sick. Really mad. And he looked up at me. I never will forget what he said. He said, "What you preached that part of the night is the truth." He said, "I guess it is. You read it out of the Bible." He said, "When it comes to salvation, I don't have an ounce." He said, "Pray for me that I'll get the Holy Ghost." I could have patted him on the back and said, "Son, you all right." But son wasn't all right. And daughter's not all right. Until they come in. I said, until they come in. And when nearly everybody had gone, but a few of the saints, I called them up front. I said, "Now let's pray for that man." The next morning, you know, I woke up early. I just wanted to see what effect that it had on me. And I slipped that blind up, and I set that gallon of sweet milk. I knew I was on my way then. The next night he came, he sat there. But the next night, that old man got up. He wasn't an old man, but he's pretty big. But he was 40, 45. He walked down that aisle like a giant. Bared his two knees in that pile of sawdust. And at 2 o'clock that morning, people in that town knew that deacons could get the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost. I said, "He got the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, we could fill this church up in 6 months if I'd quit preaching what I'm preaching here tonight. But what would you have? What would you have? I'd feel so out of joint. I'd feel so out of place. Those that come in, I want them to come in right. And when they get in, I want them to stay right. I want them to start growing. Read your Bible, come to church, pray, fast, listen to the Word of God, and so doing you'll begin to grow in faith and grow in love. Then you will reach manhood or womanhood.